Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house today and that we can open your word and learn so much from it, and it changes us from the inside out. Lord, I pray that none of us would walk out of this place the same, that we would have met with you, Holy Spirit, and been changed from the inside out. We pray for salvation in our house today, Lord. We pray for signs and wonders and miracles. We pray that your presence would be so real, that your anointing and your power would break every yoke in this place today. We just praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We lift you high, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love the kids. I just love the kids like that. Welcome back, Mark and Janice. Yay! You were missed greatly. Yeah. I love it. If you've got little children still left in here, look, I encourage you, don't stress. I don't stress. I can speak with kids doing whatever. I'm happy with the kids, as long as they're not screaming and I can't hear myself think. But if you want them to walk around, I picture Jesus on the mountain, preaching on the mountains, and I don't think all those children of those thousands of multitudes would have been sitting quiet. I imagine them with little balls playing around and just having a great time in the presence of Jesus. Hey, so can I have the lights on? That'd be awesome. Thank you. So the title of my message today is Count It All Joy. Count It All Joy. Dave, your communion was great. I think Dave's gone. It was great. It just flows on from where we're heading this morning. And I've talked to a lot of people lately, and it just seems like there's been some really hard times in people's lives. There's been some real trials and temptations in people's lives. People are going through some hard stuff. And then I saw in the Shep News, everyone knows Laura's got a job for the Shep News, and I saw Laura's, if we got that, Kylie, that'd be great, Laura's article in the Shep News, and it was light after trials and tribulations. And I thought, wow, this girl, I'm a proud mum. But as I read it, I got to the end of it, and this was Laura's quote as she finished that article, and it inspired me. It is not easy to face hardships, but through my experience, I've learned two things. I consider facing trials and tribulations a joy, as they are giving me the opportunity to grow and expand as a person, and unexpected good can come from what might seem to be the most difficult of situations. As a mum, whoa, to see that Laura had gone through the trials of the past few years and that was the words from her mouth, I count it all joy. It's like, wow, that tribulation has brought her to the place that she's supposed to be heading. And it just inspired me, and I said, Holy Spirit, that's what I need to preach on. So if we turn to James 1, and we're going to go from 1 to 18. So James, I'll just give you a little overview. James is the brother of Jesus, and there's no indication that he followed Jesus in Jesus' ministry. But after Jesus' resurrection, he was one of the leading figures of the church in Jerusalem. He was an apostle, but he wasn't one of the 12. James was martyred by stoning, and some early historians said Hagiopasis or something. A historian said his influence was so strong and he aroused wrath of the rulers, and he was taken to the pinnacle of the temple and pushed off. But that didn't kill him. And so they stoned him, but that didn't kill him. And then a launderer hit him in the head with a huge club, and that killed him with one blow. And it was what they used to use to bang the washing. And he was just knocked out. And it just makes me think, boy, they did it so tough. They really had to follow Jesus, take up their cross at whatever the cost. Hey, Connor, he's waving to me up the back. At whatever the cost was, they really had to pick up their cross, and it was life and death. And I think it always makes me challenge myself and think, Jesus, can I do it? could I be persecuted to the point of death? Could I do it? Am I too soft? Could I do it? It's a good question to ask yourself. So James 1, 18, we're just going to read through the whole thing first. So, okay, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, but he will pass away like the wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Wow. There's a lot in that, and I really don't think I'm going to get through the whole lot, but we're going to give it a good go. So trials and tribulations, one word, and temptations. It's actually a Greek word, and it's one word called pyrosmos. Libby and I were practicing that. We kept putting it on the thing and trying to pronounce it in Greek because it wasn't sounding good. So pyrosmos, but it's one word with two meanings. And so the two meanings are trials and temptations, or tribulations and temptations. So the first meaning is, tribulations, which means endurance, suffering, trouble, hardship, affliction, or adversity. And the second meaning, which is a completely different meaning from the first, and yet it is that one Greek word, it is temptations. And that is a desire to engage in short-term urges that threaten long-term goals. I thought, whoa, that's a dictionary. It nails it. Or in the context of some religions, it is the inclination to sin. So Jesus says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So therefore, we will have tribulation. If you think that being a Christian and following Jesus, you will never have hard times, Dave just nailed it this morning. We go through hard times, but it's not just to go through the hard time, it's to be built in our character. We come out stronger, better, more in love with Jesus, full of character and strength. So the first meaning, tribulation, comes from a Latin word, tribulum. And if we could have that picture, please, Kylie. So a tribulum was a wooden sledge, and it had spikes underneath that were made of either stone or iron, and that was dragged along the ground by, it says donkeys, or that then is oxen, and they still have these in Africa now. Is that true? Get in, yeah. And so they come along the ground and they thresh the ground. They spike into the ground as they thresh along, and it would hurt if you were the ground. And so that's what the word tribulation comes from, the word tribulum, which is what that was. So tribulation, it's something outside of what we have any control over. We can't choose the situations that life brings. And they're things that sometimes we never expected were coming. We have no choice over them. Preparing this message showed me, like I remember James saying when he prepared communion, he just learnt so much. Preparing this message showed me so much about myself, and it also showed me that I could have almost written a book on tribulations that I've had over my life. And I think, wow, I've had a lot of tribulations. And I really, really, really do at this time count them all joy. It's a weird thing that you can count something joy that is really hard in your life because it just doesn't feel joyful. So there was a few things that I found in my life that changed my character and who I am. First of all, when we got married, we moved, after 5 years, we moved to, that can go off, please, Kylie. We moved to Tassie, and Matt got a job with the local council, and he was working really hard to build us a home, and I was living with my sister at the time with our kid, with two kids, and Matt was working basically all day at work, then coming home and working on a house to build us a home. And it was taking longer than expected, which houses do. And I came back to Tat for a little while and stayed with an auntie to make the time go quicker. And then I got back to Tassie and Matt picked me up off the plane and I looked at him and I thought, whoa, you look bad. He looked really bad. But I thought, oh, he's still going. And he kept going. And a couple of days in when I was home, I got a knock on the door, no mobile phones. We'd moved into the house and it was really unfinished. There was even a dirt pile in the lounge room that James loved playing in the dirt pile that was still in the lounge. But the house was so far from finished, but we moved in anyway. And I got a knock at the door and it was my sister, who were the pastors of the church there. Her friend knocked on the door and she said, Matt has gone to hospital, he's collapsed. So at that point, my world shattered because I thought, what did this mean? Anyway, that was a long process. And if I have ever seen somebody look like they were dead, was when I walked into the hospital room. And for 2 weeks, Matt couldn't even lift his head. He just vomited the whole time. That whole process went through for about a month. And they thought that he had a brain tumour. And then he didn't have a brain tumour and they couldn't find what the problem was. He was then taken to Hobart. So I was left with two little children in the house. And I remember that time when he was in Hobart and not being able to have contact with him or anything. And yet I remember the middle of the nights where there would be people, young guys, screeching around the courts in cars and thinking, I'm not going to be frightened, I'm just going to get my Bible out. And I would sit for hours in the night and cry and cry and just praise Jesus and worship and pray that Matthew was going to be okay and believing that I was going to see a miracle. My brother came to Hobart, he prayed for Matt, and it was just one of those times in my life I really didn't know how it was going to work out. Anyway, he was brought home and it took 6 months for Matt to get over that, and basically they put it down to a virus. But in that 6 months, it was a really trying time because then he started to see double, so his vision was double, and he'd joke about it. He'd say, well, there's two of you to be beautiful, and I didn't find that funny at all after what I've been through, but he'd try to lighten it. But that was a trial in my life that I count it joy because I became so strong in who I was in Jesus. And I saw him come through for me in a really difficult time in my life. Another horrible trial was the house burnt down and it was my fault. And so when you've done something and the house burns down and it's your fault, you can carry that. And that becomes a trial. And Matt was leaving within 3 weeks of that happening to go to Thailand on a missions trip for 2 weeks. And I was left on my own. My kids had been scattered because we had nowhere to live. And Laura and I, we were everywhere. We were on people's floors. We ended up in the church office, blowing up our lilo each morning and putting it back down again. And it was such a trial. But again, I can really count it joy because I became deep in my character and I understood that stuff was stuff. And in that house was just stuff. It wasn't who I was. It wasn't who my children were. And that Sunday was probably one of the best Sundays I've ever had in church. And yet we all had Andy and Steph's clothes on that Sunday. Thankfully, the three boys fit into Andy's clothes and the three girls fit into Stephanie's clothes, except Steph's shoes didn't fit me and I had a pair of shoes on that were a size 10 and my foot's a 7. So I remember sitting on that front row and looking at my feet and thinking, this is strange. This is hilarious. I have size 11 shoes and I'm only a 7 or a 10. And it was just one of those bizarre things in our life that I saw my family grow. I saw my children rise up and we had a discussion the night before. Do we go to church tomorrow or do we just stay home? Because it happened late the Saturday night. And everyone's like, no, the devil's not winning on this one. We're going to church. And I thought, good on you, kids. Then I was just so proud. I'm still so proud of my children of that. I had private investigators while Matthew was in Thailand investigating me as saying it was a deliberate act. And so there was just things in me that I really had to go through a trial on. Another time was Thomas's eye. When Thomas was 12, he had an accident and he shot him. He was building a toy gun out of timber and he shot himself in the eye. A lot of you will remember that. And when you look at the scans, it just missed the middle of his eye, the rectum, and he would have been blind. And we just saw God's miraculous power just time and time again through that situation. And we didn't take the doctor's report, we took his report. And I'm just so thankful that Tom grew through that as well. And he would remember that very well. And then the most recent one was Laura's accident, which you've all heard Laura's testimony. And then so when I read that article the other day, it was like, wow, Laura's learning what a trial, what a tribulation is. And she's coming to the end and saying, hey, I count that all joy. Praise God, hey. The second meaning is temptations. And temptations are from within us. So we actually have a choice. I've discovered that temptations come in so many different forms. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. And then we're told to pray the Lord's Prayer. And you know, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we're going to be tempted. It's what do we do with that temptation? The last half of this word, parismos. Even Jesus was tempted when he was led. I don't think I've really seen this. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted. So fancy the Holy Spirit leading Jesus to be tempted. And in Matthew 4:1, it says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So we will have temptation in this life. Whatever it is, there is always a choice and a way out. So it's not sin to be tempted. It's when we allow the temptation to take over and entertain it, and like the end of that, it becomes sin. You have a choice when you're tempted. Every single person in this room will have temptations. But as I was looking and studying this week, I realized that some of them temptations lead to trials, which I will explain in a minute. No, I'll explain it now because it's in my notes. I'm going to be really honest this morning because that's just who I am and I'm an open book. Okay, so temptation, I'm going to give you a couple of examples where it's actually led me into sin to show you what that means. Sickness is one of them. Because my father died when I was one, I grew with such a fear of death, a fear of what's going to happen. And when I got married, that fear became worse than it had ever been because I really felt like Matthew was going to be taken from me. And every time something would happen, I would be just, are you all right? Is everything okay? What is that? My father died from melanoma, so I would check Matthew's skin nearly every day. I'd turn the light on even in the night when I was thinking about it and check his body. And then when he went through that sickness in Tassie and it was facing me right in the face, it was like, well, here it is. Here's your greatest fear. And I had to tap into Jesus like I had never tapped into Jesus before and think, okay, so how would I live if he wasn't here? Can I do it? And I got to that place of such a depth of knowing that, yes, I actually could, that he's not my security blanket. He's not the beginning and the end. Jesus is. And I came to this such a satisfaction in just knowing that I am okay. I'm stronger than I thought I was. I've got these two children and they're awesome kids and I would be okay. And when I came through that, that fear was totally gone. It was like I had allowed a temptation to come in and cripple me with fear so that I wasn't even functioning as a real person. If I got sick or something happened to me, straight away it was death. And that is something that I still occasionally have to fight in myself. And I am just so thankful that that whole situation, there's this joy deep in my soul that just shows me that this life is but a vapor and we don't get it. We are here for such a short moment of time and we want to make that time count. The other thing is something that is really, really recent. Again, a temptation. And I let the temptation go from temptation into sin. When we were away recently, over a month ago, we got home and Laura said, oh, there was a burglary in your street. And I said, oh, no. And all of a sudden, because I just feel like where we live is just paradise. It's just the safest place in the universe. And then I went to my neighbour and he was telling me about it. And I said to him, I said, oh, no, Matt's away at meetings at night so often and, oh, I just don't want to even be out there by myself. And he said, Melissa, I'll be there in 1 minute. So I thought, okay, Bill will be there in 1 minute. And I put Bill's number at the top of my phone. And then Matthew would go out to meetings. I think Bill's there, Bill's there. If anyone comes in, Bill's there. But I allowed this thing to start to fester. And then another guy was fixing our fence. And he said, oh, Melissa, it's the robberies are during the day. So I'm like, oh, I can't leave my house during the day. What if they come during the day? And so I was becoming crippled with this. I'd have the kids over and I'd have all the doors open so that I could see if one of them was taken in the night. And I would lay in bed and allow this thing to become such a fear that it was beginning to grip me to ridiculousness. It was actually sin because it's the opposite to faith and I'm not trusting. I said to Matthew, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to leave all my jewelry and any money in this house on the bench and I'm going to write a letter and say, here, take this stuff. I'm happy for you to have it. God bless you. I don't have real jewelry. And this is all I have, but I'm really happy for you to take it. God bless you. Jesus loves you. And I was going to put this letter on my kitchen bench so that when they came into my house, they could see all my stuff, read the letter, and hopefully get saved. People that know me know I'm a bit of a drama queen, but that is taking it to a whole new level. And this is serious. This is a month ago. So as you can see, I'm not that woman of faith that just moves mountains. I'm not that all the time. I have shortcomings. There's temptations that come in my life that are this big, and I allow them to become this big. But it is the opposite to fear. I mean faith. It is fear. And fear is sin. When you are allowing it to destroy you and grip you like that, you have let it go way too far. And so this is what I've done now. I'm like, you know what? I do not care. They can come into my home. I am at rest. I'm at peace. I've had to really come to this, because otherwise I wasn't leaving the house in case someone came. Craziness. That's a temptation that led me into a trial that I did not have to go to. That was a trial that went for weeks that I did not have to go through, all because of temptation. And I think perhaps that's why these two words are together, because sometimes temptation doesn't even have to be there. Got to move on. The amazing thing about God's grace is that He frees us from sin, and there's one thing we have to do, and that's repent. That's so awesome. So in verse 2, we're going to go back to verse 2, and it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials and temptations of many kinds." Consider it pure joy. I've preached on joy before, and I'm not talking about an emotion. It's not happiness or laughter. That's not what joy is. Happiness can be fickle, and it requires happy circumstances. Joy is deep down in your soul. It's the essence of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. It can't be stolen from me. I cannot lose my joy. It cannot be chased off by trouble. It is embedded deep in my soul. And no matter what trial or what temptation I go through, that joy is the essence of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's just my words. It's true peace and satisfaction. I love joy. We've got a few scriptures on joy. If you want to write these down, Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Philemon 1:7, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." Psalm 27:6, "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his scattered tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Isaiah 35:10, "And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will take over them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away." Who remembers that old song? How does that go? I know the thing. How does that go? "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return." And come with singing. That's rocking it, hey. Oh, that's an oldie but a goodie. Okay, I love the bit, "Flee away." Where's the fleas anyway? John 16:22, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away." Your joy. Hebrews 12:2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right throne of God." Wow, you're the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross for us so that we can have complete joy. Paul the Apostle wrote many letters to the church from prison. And in many of those letters, he talks about rejoicing and joy. And I think about him and I think, whoa, imagine being in prison and you're telling the churches in your letters, the joy is the Lord of your strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I just, I think we got a bit soft. I really think we've got a bit soft. I talk about my trials. They are a joke compared to what these guys went through. They're in prison. They're being beaten and bashed and they're singing. They're singing and they're worshipping. The joy of the Lord is their strength. Wow. Riley's joyous. There was a pastor called Paul. Look, I haven't got time to go. I would have liked to, but there's a pastor called Paul Schreider who I've read about and really studied this week. And he was a pastor when Hitler was around, and he was the first to be martyred because he confessed Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and he wouldn't bow down to Hitler's ways and his thing. So he was in solitary confinement. And this guy was starved, he was drugged, and he says in his thing that there was not one part of his body that wasn't black and blue from being beaten, and yet he's got these letters that he wrote to his wife, and from these letters he talks about the joy of the Lord, and he's in the mornings it says how he was yelling out from this solitary confinement of Jesus' goodness and Jesus' grace, and that he came to give us joy, everlasting joy. And when you read about these things that this guy was and who he was, and he actually died of starvation in there, and it's like, again, these people that are being martyred for Jesus. Now, that's a trial and temptation. Let me tell you, that's serious stuff. That's like, whoa, right till the end. And it blew me away when I read that. I just thought, wow, that it wasn't just saying, you know, be of good cheer. He's saying, I have this joy. How can you have joy in that situation? How can you have that? So in trials and temptations, what does all counting it all joy do? It shows your character. I don't think my phone was on silent. And how you've grown through each trial and temptation. We're just going to go to verse 3 and 4. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What does it produce? Perseverance. Don't give up. I've put in big, bold letters. Don't give up. When you go through trials and temptations, perseverance and character and steadfastness, it's coming. When perseverance has finished its work, we are what? What does that say there? Mature and complete. And then I love this bit, not lacking anything. When's that day coming, I wonder? Heaven? Mature and complete. I don't think I could be mature if I tried. I keep thinking one day I'll mature, I'll grow up. But mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we go through tests and trials and we learn to count them all joy and we persevere and we push through, we become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5 and 6. I love this message. I love this stuff. I just love it because it's just life. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all he does. Wisdom. The last thing I'm going to go through is wisdom. We actually need the wisdom to know how to go through the trials and the temptations. How do you get wisdom? You ask. It's so easy. And it's not a world wisdom. You know, the world would think education is wisdom. Asking smart people is wisdom. Being clever is wisdom. Clever's not wisdom. Clever makes money. Wisdom's eternal. It's God-given. Wisdom. Solomon. Everyone know the story of Solomon. I love that story of Solomon. He could have had anything. God says, ask me for what you want. And he says, I want wisdom. I'll have wisdom, God. And then he ends up with the story of the two women coming with the babies, and they both say it's their baby because one of the ladies' babies died, and they bring the baby and she says, it's my baby, it's my baby. And they're fighting over whose baby is the baby. And Solomon cuts straight through the middle and says, okay, pass me the baby. I'll cut it in half and you can have half each. So what happened? The real mother says, no way. Give the baby to her. Why? Because she wants to save life. So there goes Solomon in all his wisdom. Wow. That's a good story. Go home and read that. When you go through trials and temptations, ask God for wisdom. How does he want you to respond to those things? How does he want you to get through the other side? What does he want to teach you? How does he want you to speak through them? Your speech is so powerful. Every word you speak is so powerful. How does he want you to speak through the trial? Does he want you to say, oh no, the robber's coming. I'm going to go write a letter to the robber. And I'm going to tell him they can have anything they want. Or does he say, come on, Melissa, are you kidding? Don't you know there's angels around your property? Don't you know you can call upon the angels? And now I've pictured angels all joining arms around my property. And I sleep in peace, and I tell you what, it's a lot easier. Except for Mr. Snorri down the front here. But it's like, so, and that was another problem. Matthew kept snoring, but he doesn't have a constant snore. He has weird noises that, every weird noise would wake me up and I'd have to go check who's breaking in the house because Mr. Snorri decided to do a different sound every snore. And so it's like it's so much easier to have the angels joining arms, and now I stand in my shed and I worship and I'm on my treadmill and I say, Lord, I see your angels all about. And I don't have to fear, and I will not be tempted to go in that part of life. When you go through trials and temptation, ask God for wisdom. Ask him how to respond. And as I finish, the team could come up now. That'd be awesome. We are not victims of trials. We are victors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen, who strengthens me. And I have not got time to go through the rest. We're going to stop right there. Wisdom. I encourage you to go home and study James 1 to 18. It's awesome. Oh, so what we're going to do now, I'm really excited about the music team this morning and where they're going to lead us. But I really felt that not to have the worship and praise and just enter into the presence of God now. Because I know there's a lot of people in this room that are going through some really interesting trials in life. And I don't want you to just sit there and think, oh yeah, that was all nice. She doesn't understand what I'm going through, and then leave. This is what we're going to do. If you are going through any trial of any sort, or any temptation of any sort, we're going to just open up the front. We're going to all come out the front. We're just going to all come out the front. And we're going to let the children play, and we're not going to worry about them. And you know what we're going to do? There's amazing things when you get into trials and temptations, is that the presence of God just cuts through so much of it, just breaks every chain. It's awesome. I just know that so much of who I am and so much of my strength is because I know how to praise and worship Jesus. So we're going to come forward. And if you're in a trial, we're going to stop. And I'm going to pray for you at the end of this item that the band are going to sing. So as they're singing, they're just going to sing to us this morning. We're just going to have them just minister. And then we're going to all stand here. I'm going to pray for every single one that is facing that. And then it's your decision to break through for yourself personally up here this morning. It's actually your decision to go through your trial into counting it all joy. And this team are going to lead you into absolute joy. If you don't know Jesus this morning, come up in that as well and I'll pray for you there. But this is actually between you and Jesus. I'm not praying individually for anybody. This is actually about opening up the front and let's just do business. Let's just see angels come. Let's just see signs and wonders and miracles in your body. If you're going through health trials, let's just see you're healed and whole from worshiping Jesus. If you're going through relationship trials, let's just see the presence of God come in. Let's just see sickness leave in Jesus' name. Let's just see wisdom come into your heart about what's your next step in your trials. Let's just see what God's going to do in this place this morning. Amen. Coming forward now as they're singing. Let's just be brave this morning. Let's not be held back. Don't wait for someone else. Just move forward.
Let me dedicate my life. bitter into sweet, the bitter into sweet, the bitter into sweet.
It's what you do, Jesus.
You turn the winter into spring, the winter into spring, the winter into spring.
You turn.
The bitter into sweet, the bitter into sweet, the bitter into sweet. You turn the winter into spring, the winter into spring.
Lord, you care and you love and you want the very best for every person that is out the front representing here today. And Lord, life has trials and temptations, and they're tough. But we know, Lord, that you are the joy of all those things that we can go through, that Jesus, you were tempted in every way and you knew what it was to come out on top. And Lord, right now I uplift every person that is represented out the front. And Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would speak into each situation personally, that Holy Spirit, as they begin to say where they're at with you, just in their own personal space here, that Holy Spirit, you would speak revelation into their heart, that you would show them wisdom, that you would show them what wisdom looks like in their situation at this moment. If it's a trial of healing right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to every sick body that is represented in this place. And by his stripes, you are healed. In every situation of trial that you're going through, I pray right now that you would just open up your heart and you would ask the Holy Spirit to start to speak, give you strategies. Start to ask how to pray. Don't be a victim here. Be a victor. Speak that which is not as though it were into this situation. It may not look like what it's supposed to look like right now, but picture where you need it to be and speak that right now into the heavenly realms. Because the enemy has been defeated and every single chain that is wrapped around you today will be broken in the name of Jesus. Because he breaks every chain. Not part of the chain, not some of the chain, but every chain. And you are actually free to rejoice and have the joy of the Lord that is your salvation. So as we move now into a real prayer and warfare and worship, I just pray that you get your worship voice on and you just say, okay, no more, no more, no more. I'm walking through this, but no more, enemy. I'm not going to be held back. Wisdom, come in and show me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
such a powerful tool. Worship is warfare. So when you turn your eyes and your heart towards Jesus, that's warfare, because you're focusing on Him and His truth and who He is. You're not focusing on the circumstances. So this is powerful. So let's worship this morning. And if you still want to respond and come out the front, just come down. Just as between you and God this morning, just feel free just to come out the front at any time.